What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Lauren Sklamberg, the lead singer of the Grammy Award-winning klezmer band, The Klezmatics, who will be performing here in Tucson this week at the Fox Theater. We'll also have a visit from our Too Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our maven on Israel, Oshrat Barel. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom and Chag Chanukah Sameach, Chag Urim Sameach. It's the fourth day of Chanukah today, halfway through the Festival of Lights and Miracles, and it's also the end of Thanksgiving weekend, of course, which means that the holiday season is now in full swing. It also means that for Jews, it will all be over by this coming Thursday night, while the rest of America will spend the next 4 weeks in full holiday mode. Sadly, this means that we can't buy Hanukkah presents at the after-Christmas sales this time, although we did get Black Friday and Cyber Monday to do late purchases of Hanukkah presents. And it also means we Jews will have to endure lots of people wishing us Happy Hanukkah weeks after the last candle has guttered out. But right now, it's still the Feast of Rededication, not quite halfway through Hanukkah. The name for Hanukkah comes from the Hebrew word for dedication, chinuch, which has the same root as the word for education, by the way. The historical origin is that the Maccabees, the Jewish rebels, overthrew the overlordship of the Syrian Greek tyrant Antiochus and freed Israel in the year 165 BCE. The Holy Temple in Jerusalem was cleansed and rededicated in a ceremony called Chanukat HaBayit, the dedication of the house of God. Supposedly, according to rabbinic tradition, only a small jar of oil remained with which to light the menorah, the great lamp that burned continually in the temple. It took 8 days to press more pure olive oil, Shemen Zayit Zach, for that purpose, but miraculously the oil lasted not for 1 day as expected, but for 8 full days and crazy nights until more pure sacred oil could be made. And so today we celebrate with 8 nights of beautiful lights. Without ruining anyone's Hanukkah, by the way, spoiler alert for children right now, I can tell you that this beautiful and powerful tale does not appear in any Jewish text until the days of the Talmud, fully 600 years after the events that led to the creation of the holiday of Hanukkah. I can also tell you that another great Jewish holiday of Thanksgiving, Sukkot, is 8 days long and that it seems extremely likely that the Maccabees simply celebrated this great biblical feast of gratitude, Sukkot, as soon as they cleansed the temple. And that 8 lights for 8 nights at the time of year when days are shortest and nights are longest and dark and cold simply makes sense. Now, while for many observant Jews, Hanukkah is considered to be a minor festival, lower on the religious totem pole than the High Holy Days or the Shalosh Regalim, the pilgrimage festivals like Passover, or even Shabbat, our weekly Sabbath, traditionally, Hanukkah is no more important religiously than the kids' festival of Purim. But, in a historical sense, Hanukkah really matters quite a lot. After all, without Hanukkah, Judaism wouldn't have survived at all. And no other Western religion, not Christianity, not Islam, not any variation or derivation of either tradition, would have even gotten started. Basically, without the events that Hanukkah commemorates, there would be no Western civilization as we know it. In fact, every American should celebrate Hanukkah. For religious freedom is the true birthright of our American democracy, and it was first given life in the Great Maccabean Revolt nearly 2,200 years ago. Just as we've celebrated the freedom to enjoy a meal in peace and safety this past Thursday with our American Thanksgiving, over the course of the Hanukkah festival, we rejoice in the religious freedom that our ancestors fought for successfully long ago at this time of year, which made it possible for a land of the free like America to even be imagined. To celebrate this achievement of Hanukkah, to play us in and get your fourth day of the Festival of Lights off to a melodic start, here's Safam performing a terrific American Hasidic-style version of the prayer for Hanukkah, Al Hanisim.
Al Hanisim ve'al ha'purkan ve'al ha'gvurot ve'al ha'tishuot ve'al ha'milchamot she'asita Shasita Labotenu Al Hanisim Ve'al Ha'Purkan Ve'al Ha'Gvurot Ve'al Ha'Tishuot Ve'al Ha'Milchamot Shasita Shasita Labotenu Bayamim Ha'Hem
Bayamim Ha'Hem
was Safam performing Al Hanisim, the prayer we say each day of this Festival of Miracles. Creatively, in their version of this traditional prayer, their setting, they say, in the days of Mattathias the Hasmonean and Judah Maccabee, as we do traditionally, and then they add, as we would on Purim, in the days of Mordechai and Esther, and then they add, David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, as well as another modern hero of Israel. It's all very cool. Hanukkah celebrates the victory of the few over the many, the weak over the strong, the virtuous over the rotten, and, of course, we Jews over those who tried to destroy us. But we also enjoy the fact that Hanukkah food is very tasty. It can be seen as the victory of those with a preference for great eating over those who just don't get the whole centrality of food in life as we Jews do. The tradition of eating anything fried in oil goes back to the oil lasting for 8 days on Hanukkah. This includes the great Ashkenazic food, my personal favorite, latkes, fried potato pancakes. By the way, I also make some killer sweet potato pancakes made with ginger, kind of a Sephardic variation. And in Israel, the additional favorite Hanukkah food is sufganiyot, jelly donuts, deep fried, delicious, and as healthy as, smallpox. But for this week, don't worry about cholesterol or calories. Just fry, eat, and enjoy. In the spirit of enjoyment, our guest this morning, Lauren Sklamberg, is the lead singer of the great klezmer band, The Klezmatics. They'll be here in Tucson, Arizona, where I live, this coming Thursday night, December 5th, just after Hanukkah, for a great concert at the Fox Theater. Lauren Sklamberg will explain what klezmer music is and why everybody should love it as much as, well, I do, when we return here on this Hanukkah morning on Too Jewish. Parents in Tucson have many choices on where to send their children to school. Consider the best. Consider Tucson Hebrew Academy. Now is the time to secure your spot for the upcoming school year. With a beautiful Foothills K-8 campus and award-winning academics, you owe it to your children to visit THA, Tucson Hebrew Academy, and see what they have to offer. Your child belongs at THA. THA delivers. Low student-teacher ratio supports successful, rigorous academics, and they don't stop there. With an emphasis on the arts, science, and music, THA students learn the Hebrew language and are taught Jewish values along with a rigorous academic curriculum. Your child deserves the best. Call 529-3888 to schedule your tour of THA. Financial aid is available. Don't wait. Space is limited. That's 529-3888 or visit www.thaaz.org. To play in our guest this morning, here's a lovely Hanukkah song written by the great American folk singer-songwriter Woody Guthrie. It's called Hanukkah Dance. You'll hear more about why Woody wrote Hanukkah tunes from Lauren Sklamberg of the Klezmatics shortly.
Tippy tap toe, happy Hanukkah, round you go. My little latke on your toes, happy Hanukkah, and around and around you go. Clap your hands, happy Hanukkah, clap. My little strudeler on your toes, happy Hanukkah, and around you go. Jump real high, happy Hanukkah, jump, jump high. My little fruity cake on your toes.
We are delighted to welcome the Two Jewish, our guest this morning. He's Lauren Sklamberg, the lead singer of the Klezmatics. I would say without question, the best known and most interesting klezmer group, and also, I guess, world music group operating today with a long history of wonderful recordings and great music. Good morning and welcome.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be joining you this morning.
So I'm a fan of klezmer music, but I want to talk a little bit about Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah, by the way. Chag Hanukkah Sameach.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about some of the Hanukkah collaborations you guys have engaged in recently and over the years.
Well, the main one that comes to mind is the one we did with the lyrics of Woody Guthrie,
right?
Yeah, and he wrote a batch of Hanukkah songs, apparently for maybe an event or events at the Jewish Community Center out in Coney Island, where he lived with his family and. Across the street from his mother-in-law, Aliza Greenblatt, and her husband. So the songs seem to have been written with that in mind.
They're Woody Guthrie songs, except they're about things like latkes and dreidels. And what's your favorite one of them?
I like one of the ones that I wrote music to, which is Happy Joyous Hanukkah, because it kind of as Woody was. Often did, he will take a known song, a song that people know well, and he'll you know, put his own spin on it. So he actually took a Christmas spiritual, Children Go Where I Send Thee, and he grafted onto the, at least the structure of the song, these lyrics about Hanukkah, so that it's a cumulative song. So you add something for every verse. It's a counting song, and then you get to nine, and then you go do everything backwards. So it's like people with a lot of Woody's songs. It's like people. You know, think that they know them almost before they've heard them because it's something that they're familiar with. So that's a good songwriting technique. You know, if you want to try your hand at writing something, it's a good idea, actually.
To steal a song that people already know and then make it your own.
Yeah, and you know, I love that it's supposedly about Hanukkah, but he throws in a bit of Jewish biblical history that doesn't have anything to do with Hanukkah at all. You know, he just like throws in Moses, and he throws in, you know, all this other things that don't necessarily have anything to do with Hanukkah, but they sound good, so he throws them in as well. So that's a lot of fun, and you know, and you know, he has such an evocative voice when he writes that, you know, he just like sort of tells you where to go musically. Even though you probably could have sung the same tune as Children Go Where I Send Thee, you know, he would have maybe made up his own tune or used some other tune, you know, but his words are definitely inspiring to write and to work with.
We will talk much more with Lauren Sklamberg of the Klezmatics about klezmer music and klezmer in general when we come back on Two Jewish. Among my most pleasant, at least time-consuming duties, I have the honor of serving as president of the Kohan Memorial Foundation, which celebrates the memories of Rabbi Samuel S. and A. Irma Kohan, my own grandparents. Once a year, the foundation gives a substantial cash award to an individual for outstanding service to Klal Yisrael, the totality of the Jewish people. This service can involve any one of four different fields: unity, education and information, creative arts, or rescue. If you know of anyone who might qualify for the 2013 Kohan Award, just visit our website, www.kohanaward.com, C-O-H-O-N, and you'll find the nomination form to submit. And while you're there, you can also learn just who my own grandparents were and who participates in honoring their memory today. That's kohanaward.com, C-O-H-O-N-A-W-A-R-D. It's a good visit.
If you're like most people, your biggest purchase is your home. Don't you wish there was someone you could turn to who not only had knowledge and experience, but who truly cared about you? If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you need to know Jill Rich. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. With over 20 years of experience, Jill's one of Tucson's top realtors. She specializes in all kinds of residential property. She can find you a starter house or a castle. Jill will find you the perfect home. While the stock market has wild gyrations, real estate grows in value. If you want to invest in income property, Jill can guide you. And if you're thinking about selling your home, Jill provides a personal marketing program to sell your house fast. You can reach Jill Rich at Realty Executives River Road Office, 615-8400. Jill provides strong representation in a caring way. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. Jill Rich, call 615-8400.
We welcome David and Pam of Freedom Smoke International, new sponsors here on Two Jewish. What is Freedom Smoke International?
Thank you, Rabbi Kohan. Freedom Smoke USA is an electronic cigarette company based right here out of Tucson. We were the first store in the United States, the first store to have all FDA-approved products. It's a healthier alternative to cigarette smoking.
No smoke, no tobacco, and doctors refer people to you.
That's correct. My doctor actually just gave me a glowing report from other patients he's had that I've been able to find this as a healthier alternative to smoking.
Cardiologists, pulmonologists, even dentists, huh?
That's correct. It does help with all that.
How many flavors can people get of this?
We have over 700 flavors available.
Where are the locations and how do people get connected?
Our first location is at River and Orange Grove. We opened one at Broadway and Swan, and we currently just had our grand opening at 12th and Valencia.
And we do have a store in Southern Michigan also.
And what phone number can people call?
You can call the toll-free number at 1-800-705-7013. That's freedomsmokeusa.com.
Thank you, and we'll talk some more next week. If you have a question, comment, or a compliment, or criticism, a kvetch or a kvel, please email us at twojewishradio@yahoo, TOOJewishRadio@yahoo.com. Or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through the website or download us from there at the Apple iTunes Store as very popular Jewish podcasts. Here's another Hanukkah tune from our guest, Lauren Sklamberg and the Klezmatics. It's called Hanukkah Gelt.
Squeezing me blue makes me love even you, 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 makes me love even you, you, you. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Gelt, Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Gelt, I have told you how I felt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Gelt, Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Gelt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, 11 and 7, Hanukkah Gelt, till I dance me to heaven. Tickle me, give me a pickle deep. Makes me love myself, self, self.
That was Woody Guthrie's Hanukkah Gelt, performed by the Klezmatics. They'll be at the Fox Theater this Thursday night, December 5th at 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets at Temple Emmanuel, 327-4501, or at the Fox Theater box office right now or online. We welcome our Mivina on Israel, Oshrat Barel, head of the Weintraub Israel Center. Boker Tov, Oshrat.
Boker Tov.
So you head the Israel Center, but I'm not certain that all of our listeners understand what an Israel Center is, how it's formed, why it exists in, for example, Tucson, Arizona. Can you fill us in a little bit about how that works?
Actually, the Weintraub Israel Center was founded more than 15 years ago, and it's like the main goal is to build a living bridge between the people and the institution of Tucson and Israel through culture, language, travel, community, and most important, relationship. I hope it says something for you, to you. I guess it is.
It does.
Yeah,
it does,
of course.
Indeed.
Yeah. So by six different areas of activity, we're trying to really bring Israel to every place in Tucson, like the heartbeat of Israel, creates all kind of events for families with young kids to celebrate Jewish holidays with a taste of Israel, as we described last week about Hanukkah. All kind of lectures that the speakers are from Israel or talking about Israel. as we had Sharon Migdal last month.
A good friend and maybe the principal expert in the United States on water resources in the Middle East and especially in Israel.
Mm-hmm. And we also have a department like it's called Destination Israel. We're helping families, individuals to find out like to create a trip to Israel or design or to find out what places is the best to go in Israel. You can, of course, call the Weintraub Israel Center. We have the Israel Education. This year we have adult education series with Congregation Beit Shalom, February 24th, March 3, March 10, and March 31st. Very important, very interesting lecture. Don't miss it. And we have the partnership together. It's a an Israel celebration partnership. Together we have a partnership with two localities in Israel, Kiryat Malachi and Chof Ashkelon. And the main focus is how to build more people-to-people connection by all kind of programs. 3 years ago, I know that you remember that you host cooks from Kiryat Malachi. It was delicious. That's what I heard. And another, all kind of educational program.
Really a way of connecting Americans, not just American Jews, but American communities with Israel in all kinds of useful and productive ways.
And you know what? Not only based on our Judaism, but on a common interest.
Yes. And if people want to find out more, they can go to
Weintraub Israel Center on Facebook or Jewish Federation.
JewishTucson.org, I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there many other Jewish centers around the United States?
Yeah, all over.
Centers, I should say, of course. Wonderful. Thanks, Oshrat. We'll talk next week. When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and get the old Jewish joke of the week.
Attention Arizona taxpayers, you can help make quality Jewish education available to local students in need of financial support by redirecting your Arizona state tax dollars to JETCO. Here's how it works. Arizona allows taxpayers to receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for payments made to recognized organizations like JETCO. This lets JETCO give scholarships to children who attend local Jewish schools in Tucson. These tax credits are different from a tax deduction or donation. When you make a contribution to JETCO, you get a 100% tax credit, which means that your Arizona state income tax is reduced or your refund is increased up to the amount you've given. Supporters of JETCO can give up to $1,003 for single filers and $2,006 for married couples filing jointly. You have until April 15th to make your contribution for the 2012 tax year. To foster Jewish education today, give JETCO a call at 647-8442. Again, that's 647-8442. Or go online to JETCO.org. By making a tax credit contribution to JETCO, you help nurture Jewish identity in Tucson for new generations of students like me. And it won't cost you a dime.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom. Chag Chanukah Sameach, and I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Good morning, Rabbi. I did, and I hope you did as well, and your family.
Thank you. It's unusual. In fact, it hasn't happened since 1861 that Chanukah and Thanksgiving fall at the same time. And it won't happen again ever because the lunar calendar is moving away from the solar calendar by one day, and it won't reunite for a very long time. But it does seem appropriate to have Hanukkah and Thanksgiving at the same time since they're both based on Sukkot.
Both based on Sukkot?
Yes, I didn't tell. I get to teach you something. So
please do.
Hanukkah, the Thanksgiving festival in which you do prayers of gratitude, eight days long, maybe because the menorah burned for 8 days, maybe because Sukkot, the great Jewish Thanksgiving festival, is the only other eight-day festival we have. They couldn't celebrate it in Jerusalem. It is. If you count Shmini Atzeret, the eighth day, it's an eight-day festival of gratitude. And they couldn't celebrate it at the time when the Syrian Greeks controlled the temple. When they cleansed it, they could do a Thanksgiving festival. So it fits perfectly. It's got almost all the same rituals as Sukkot in a liturgical sense. So Hanukkah really is based to a great degree on Sukkot. And if you take Thanksgiving, the Puritan fathers also based it on Sukkot, the Thanksgiving festival of the Bible that they knew, because they knew their Old Testament. They knew Hebrew, many of them, had studied it even in England and then again in Leiden when they were kind of marooned there on their way to Massachusetts with a Sephardic rabbi there. And so they turned to Sukkot, this Thanksgiving festival of harvest. So it all kind of fits.
Yeah, when you talk about eight-day festivals, the first one that leaps to my mind is Pesach.
Well, but Pesach is 7 days in the Bible, but Sukkot
and in Israel.
Is eight.
And here in Israel, it's eight. Right.
Correct. But
right,
Sukkot
right.
is eight, and Hanukkah is eight.
Yeah, and Hanukkah is a post-biblical holiday.
Post-biblical.
Although you might want to explain for your listeners that the Book of Maccabees is included in certain versions of the Bible.
The Christian versions,
it's,
actually.
It's not included in our version of the Bible, and that itself is an interesting story. But, okay, so, I mean, my take on this is not so much related to Sukkot and the agricultural calendar as, and most Jewish holidays, in fact, have as one of their bases or one of their roots, the agricultural calendar of planting, harvesting, whatever. And
first
there was
fruits, whichever.
And
the
there was
are,
a right. whole tradition in writing the Tanakh of a conflict between the nomads and the settled people, between the shepherds and the agriculturalists, and eventually between both and city dwellers.
Of course.
And that reflects, particularly in the latest books of the Tanakh, the influence of Greeks who were more urbanized, et cetera, et cetera. But really, I mean, Hanukkah is about a conflict between Jews and Greeks and a conflict over the first, well, or the second maybe, major recorded incidents in history of Jewish refusal to assimilate and to bow down to other people's gods in an obedience to the first commandment that we often forget about today. And it was, if you want, a cultural or civilizational conflict, which in some sense, obviously, the Jews won because we're still around. The ancient Greeks aren't. Some vague form of successors are in a shrunken state called Greece, but they speak a different language and probably can make a less legitimate claim to cultural continuity than the Jewish people can. So in a sense, I think of Hanukkah as Thanksgiving for a victory over a powerful alien culture and a celebration of our ability to maintain ourselves and our identity as a people.
It's a great way to think about it. And if you go to the Jewish Community Center, you can see all the Greek ideals brought into a Jewish context.
Right.
Thanks, Tom. Chag Sameach. We'll talk next week.
I look forward to it.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie New, brought to you by Too Jewish as a Public Service. Abe walks into the local bar and sees his friend Moshe sitting there. He puts his hand to his heart and yells, "Hoy vey, Moshe, I'm so sorry to hear about your factory burning down." Moshe whips around quickly and whispers, "Shh, you idiot. It's tomorrow." That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Too Jewish, just for you. You should live and be well. Now a word of Torah. This week we reach the climax of the great story of Joseph, which fills most of the last 5 weekly portions of the book of Genesis. As we begin this week's great portion of Vayigash, Joseph has risen to the position of being the number two man in all of Egypt. He has become in Yiddish a poritz, an important man, a macher, a guy who has assimilated and taken on a role that few Jews have ever held. As my father, Rabbi Baruch Kohan's song, tells it,
Yosef Avinu is in Mitzrayim a poritz geworden. Translation, little Joe, he made it big in Egypt. Seine eigene Brüder obnehm nicht die Kent, obnehm nicht die Kent. Translation, his own brothers didn't know him anymore, they didn't dig him anymore. Und vor was haben sie ihn nicht gekannt? Why didn't they know him? While er kult ois via poritz, und er rett via poritz, ein Peitscher ist gestanden in der Mitte.
я поряд, серйозного їсто завадити. Translation: he looked like a poet and he talked like a poet in a language that his brothers didn't know. He looked like a poet and he talked like a poet. That couldn't be our little Joe.
Joseph's brothers, who had earlier sold him into slavery and don't know that he's come way up in the world since then, come down to Egypt because food is short in Canaan. But as the song continues,
hot say ye can, don't say hot ye meet ye can. He knew them and they didn't know him. But now listen, how could they possibly know it? I mean, here he was with the beard shaved off in this beautiful penthouse completely overlooking the Nile. Elegantly furnished in early on Gibbachkin. And between him and them are standing the aristocrats and the big shots and the interpreters. And besides, like I told you before, are you ready? He looked like a poet and he talked like a poet in a language that his brothers didn't know. He looked like a poet and he talked like a poet. That couldn't be our little Joe. Finally, Joe himself couldn't stand it anymore. He said, send them all out. All the aristocrats, the big shots, the inter, send them all out. And he faced his brothers directly, and he spoke to them for the first time in Hebrew. And he said to them, Amni Yosef. Translation, Ich bin Yosef. Adavicha. Said, is my father still alive? They looked at him, and they looked at each other, and they said, it can't be, but it is. Yes, this is our brother. They said, yes, you have a father, you have a family, you have an identity. Yes, they said, we know you now because you're speaking our language, of course.
In other words, Joseph comes to recognize that he has to affirm his own Jewish identity. He has brothers, a father, an existence beyond his job and his assimilated identity. He is a Jew, and that matters deeply and profoundly. You know, that's the essential meaning of this great Torah portion of Vayigash. It's also the fundamental meaning of the holiday of Hanukkah we celebrate now. It's why we are here and why our lives truly matter. It is our identity as Jews, as human beings, as both. When we come back on Too Jewish, our guest, the wonderful singer Lauren Sklamberg of the outstanding klezmer group The Klezmatics, will explain just how they decide to make the music they do and how they make that music. Find out when we return on Too Jewish.
Environmental Strategies Incorporated was established in Arizona almost 15 years ago. They're a corporation that's very unique and has distinguished itself as one of the foremost environmental remediation companies in Arizona. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is also a full-service general contractor. The fact that they have two divisions affords their clients the opportunity to work with one contractor to deal with environmental problems as well as their building and remodeling needs. Environmental Strategies clientele range from single-family homeowners to multi-million-dollar Fortune 500 companies. So, if you're in need of asbestos abatement, mold remediation, or general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies at 884-1114. And, if you wish, ask for Ken Goodman, the president. He'd be more than happy to talk with you about your project. That's Environmental Strategies, 884-1114. We continue with our Too Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
A nuclear deal was worked out between Iran and the powers that be in the world, and Israel and some others are not so happy about it. Iran seems to have agreed with six different world powers in negotiations to curb Tehran's nuclear program for 6 months in return for sanctions relief, at least in a limited way, over the crippling economic controls that have hurt Iran. Iran has said it will not make any further advances of its activities on any nuclear reactors, according to texts of the agreement that have been published so far. Experts have said there is an apparent gap in the text that might allow Tehran to build components off-site and install them later in the nuclear reactor. And while the deal is a limited-time effort to see if Iran can comply with the restrictions, trying to build some international good faith after years of duplicity, Israel remains highly skeptical that Iran is really abandoning its nuclear weapons program. We will certainly see. With this short-term deal on Iran completed, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is increasing pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu to make progress in his peace dealings with the Palestinians, in particular by stopping Israeli settlement building. It will be interesting.
אמרו את זה קודם לפניי, לא משנה. אני ואתה משנה את העולם. אני ואתה ננסה מהתחלה. יהיה לנו רע, זה לא נורא. אמרו את זה קודם לפניי, זה לא משנה. אני ואתה משנה את העולם.
Some very sad news this week. The great Israeli singer-songwriter Arik Einstein died last week at the age of 74 of a massive aneurysm that ruptured. Arik Einstein was the most respected and appreciated Israeli singer of his generation and probably several generations. He remains the most popular Israeli male singer ever. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hailed Einstein's songs as the soundtrack of Israel. Arik was the greatest, he said. We all grew up on his songs. You said Arik Einstein, you said Israel. Arik was a wonderful singer and a wonderful person. Israel bids a sad farewell to a cultural giant. Israel's president, Shimon Peres, also paid warm tribute to Einstein, saying, "His songs are the soundtrack of a whole nation. His voice caressed and embraced the country. He moved the first generations and the new alike. He wrote in difficult times and days of elation." Einstein's friend and fellow musician Israel Gurion said the singer was our Frank Sinatra, adding he gave the words he sang meaning. When I personally first went to Israel in the mid-1970s, Einstein's ballad Ani Ve'ata, You and I Can Change the World, was a kind of theme song for my group, and it was for many young Israelis and for Jews all over the world. Arik Einstein was also a TV star, creating satiric skit comedy that was wildly popular, and true to his era, he came of age in the early 1960s when Israel, too, was very young. He was a down-to-earth and modest kind of superstar. He collaborated with many other Israeli musicians, like Shalom Chanoch, and related to every age of Israeli. Einstein is widely credited with introducing the electric guitar to Israel. His version of the song Liv Kot Lecha, To Cry For You, became a kind of unofficial Israeli requiem following the assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in 1995.
כמו דלתות שנפתחות בלילה לנצח אחי אזכור אותך תמיד וניפגש בסוף אתה יודע ויש לי חברים אבל גם הם קווים אל מול אורך המשגע
Arik Einstein's laid-back charisma and easy manner made him a wonderful and durable performer. He recorded many delightful kids' songs as well, like the bouncy Shabbat Baboker, until a car accident in 1982 ended his public concert career, although it added to his mystique somehow. Einstein continued to release albums and remained a beloved figure on the Israeli music scene. One of his most beautiful songs, Uf Gozal, Fly Away, Little Chick, became a classic song dedicated to kids growing up, leaving, heading off on the dangerous course of life. It's a remarkable and sweet tribute, especially being the parent of a maturing young adult.
Agozalim sheli azvu et hakel Parsu knafayim ve'afu V'ani tzipor zgena nish'arti baken Mekave me'od she'akol yiyye beseder תמיד ידעתי שיבוא היום שבו צריך להיפרד אבל עכשיו זה ככה בא לי פתאום אז מה הפלא שאני קצת דואג אוף גוזל
Lech l'shalom, Arik. You gave Israel a unique and beautiful voice and heart. Your songs will long remain with us. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews Around the World. To play our guest back in this morning, here's the Klezmatics and their tune, Groovy's Freilachs. Delighted to welcome back to Two Jewish our guest this morning, Lawrence Klamberg. He's the lead singer of the Klezmatics, the paradigmatic klezmer group of America. Lauren, how many albums have you guys recorded? Do you know?
Klezmatics albums or CDs or...
Or whatever they're called today.
Whatever they're called now, 10. We've been together almost 28 years.
Kinohora, as they say. You know, there's been a klezmer revival in parts of Europe and, of course, various places in America, too. Tell me what that's like to sort of witness and participate in.
Well, you know, when we were starting out, there wasn't really much to listen to, and it was sort of we were trying to, you know, pick up a thread, a cultural thread that had been, you know, broken. In the late 50s or early 60s. So it was about, you know, maybe 20 or 25 years since Yiddish music had any development or had been actively played. So we sort of, you know, we're trying to first of all learn how to play the music and then learn how to put ourselves inside it and make it our own. And, you know, since we figured out how to do that, there's been, you know, a generation and a half that's grown up with being able to hear this music actively performed and revitalized and, you know, altered, you know, in our contemporary world. So there are kids that have grown up that are much more able to, you know, to naturally interpret this music and put themselves inside it because they've had it in their ears for so many years, and they're, you know, really lucky in a way that we weren't.
I want to talk a little bit of some of the classic klezmer repertoire. Talked a little bit of how Woody Guthrie's songs always sound, even when you're hearing them for the first time, as though you've known them your whole life. I think of Mordechai Gebirtig that way sometime, some of the Yiddish songs that you guys do. Who's your favorite composer that writes what you would call folk songs?
Shmerka Kachaginsky, the great Vilna partisan and songwriter and collector of Holocaust songs, has certainly been a big influence on us, and we've worked with several of his songs. Certainly, Varshavsky has been influential and someone who's appealed to us, and also the so-called sweatshop poets, people who've written things like Edelstadt and such. They're people whose work we kind of gravitate towards, and you know it's nice that you have a choice of so many great Yiddish poets to draw from.
How would you describe klezmer music to someone who had just arrived from Mars or South America and didn't know what it was?
I'd probably just say it's our party music. It's the music that we traditionally play at celebrations, at weddings, bar mitzvahs, and anytime we want to, we want to feel good and sing together and dance together and have a good time.
There's lots of upbeat klezmer, of course, but there's some slower kinds of klezmer music. To me, they're sometimes the most fun. What do you prefer?
I just like a good tune, and I like music that evokes a very strong emotional feeling for me. So it's tough for me to generalize about these kinds of things, but I would say I tend to like things that are more reflective and less hyper fast. You know, although I know the band is sometimes known for playing things, at a very brisk pace. I do like the things that are a bit more earthy and grounded.
How do you guys decide what new repertoire you're going to add?
It's kind of actually not so easy. We're a collective. There's no director in our group, so. Everything kind of has to go through a screening process, and people bring materials in sometimes with an arrangement in mind, sometimes with just like a tune that they like, or sometimes they've taken a tune and they've had someone write new lyrics for it. So we take the tune and we play it and see if we like it, and maybe it gets to the point where we perform it in some concerts. And some things stick, and some things, we eventually drop them. It just depends on the tune, but we have some things that have been kicking around for a few years that we're still kind of puzzling over as to how to make them work for us.
You guys have collaborated with various people. What was your most enjoyable memories of collaborations?
Well, I think that certainly one of the most successful was working with Chava Alberstein and the CD, The Well. I think it's such a great body of songs all in one place, and all, one of those things where someone who's immensely talented has, a great burst of creativity, and she just came up with all these great songs. And, we were privileged enough to get to work with her and to arrange them and perform them with her and make a permanent document with the CD. So I feel like that was a huge gift and privilege for us.
You know, having recorded with a klezmer band in the studio, and it came out well and everything, it just seems to me that this music works so much as a live form of artistic expression. Do you like it better live?
I don't like recording very much. I think it is, as a singer, it's very difficult to get it right in a studio, which is a very relatively cold, sterile environment where you the way that you hear yourself isn't ideal. It doesn't really, you kind of have to suspend your disbelief and try and imagine putting energy out into a an audience or into a room where you're getting energy back from an audience, and I find that very difficult to do. Singing live is a lot more fun. It's a lot easier, and you can also take the kinds of risks that a recording, you kind of, since people are going to be listening to it over and over again. I mean, basically what when you're making a recording of say 12, 15 songs, basically you're making what amounts to is a pop record, and people are going to be listening to it over and over and over again. So you kind of want what you record to be a distillation of your performance. You don't want it to necessarily be out of bounds this way or that way, or do a lot of improvisation or a lot of, you know, very show-offy sorts of things. It's like that's the time where you sort of have to boil down what you're doing in a particular song to its essence. So, you know, in that way, it's a very kind of straight-jacketed way of playing music. So I much prefer playing live. Absolutely.
I just remember standing in the studio in a voice room, staring at glass, and the producer telling me, "Okay, that was good. Now try a better performance."
Yeah, right. And who's to say which performance is better and which isn't? When we did Wonder Wheel, which is the Woody Guthrie material,
right.
The CD that we won a Grammy for in 2006-2007, we worked with a producer who was essentially whose main job is producing vocals for dance records, for pop dance records, and he really concentrated a lot on the vocals and making sure that every line in the song was clear and that everything was sung in a very straightforward way and I completely relished working like that, because if you're going to do something that has to be very, you know, kind of contained, at least it should be the best that it can be in that kind of a mindset. So I really enjoyed doing that and having that kind of care going into recording the vocals. But if when someone gives you kind of vague instructions, it's not very helpful.
No, it's not. Do you like performing in Yiddish better or English?
I'm so used to performing in Yiddish now, you know. Again, going back to recording Wonder Wheel. Wonder Wheel was, you know, all in English, the first all-English recording that the band made. And I remember, you know, that the producer had a lot of things to say about the way I was pronouncing English, and I sort of pride myself on my diction. And, you know, he was saying, well, you don't have to be so precise, and it's like you're singing,
enunciate every letter,
and also like that Woody Guthrie, there's this kind of, you know, image of him as this, you know, kind of dust bowl balladeer, and he's like everything sepia toned, and he talks with, you know, like he's from Oklahoma, you know, and so we kind of tried to, you know, try to relax the way that the that my English was coming out, you know, and I don't really think about it that much because it is my native language. But I'm much more at this point accustomed to singing in Yiddish. So, you know, and I like singing in Yiddish. It's a very comfortable language for me.
You know, it's funny. That was the first language I ever sang in, maybe Hebrew, I suppose, doing the Shema. I remember performing it, I don't know, 6 or 7, singing a Yiddish song. And even though I don't speak Yiddish, you know, there's a feeling to it that doesn't come in any other language.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a lovely language to sing in, too.
I want to thank Lauren Sklamberg of the Klezmatics for a great visit here on Too Jewish. They'll be here in Tucson, Arizona, where I live, live at the Fox Theater on December 5th. Lauren, thanks so much, and Chag Sameach.
Oh, my pleasure. Same to you and to all your listeners.
When we come back, we'll hear about next week's guest, get a final musical play out on Too Jewish.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Our guest will be Jamie Geller, author of the new The Joy of Kosher cookbook, TV cooking show host, and celebrity chef. Our playout this morning comes from our guest, Lauren Sklamberg of the fabulous musical group The Klezmatics, who are going to be at the Fox Theater here in Tucson December 5th, this Thursday. Get your tickets now from foxtheatertucson.org or from Temple Emmanuel and enjoy. A final Hanukkah tune from The Klezmatics, their Hanukki Hanukkah, another Woody Guthrie melody turned into great klezmer. My friends, have a Chag Chanukah Sameach, a Chag Urim Sameach, a happy holiday of lights, a Shavua Tov, an excellent end of your Thanksgiving holiday, and a good week and a week, we pray, of peace.
Hanukkah, eat them down. Latkes and goody things all over town. It's Hanukki Hanukkah time. It's Hanukki Hanukkah, shaky my hand. My candles are burning all over this land to light the dark road for the man has.